Romans chapter 5, we'll continue our study. We won't like too many more of these, and we'll be done. We're going to circle back and get the very first part of this when we are done to tie this all together. He says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace with God, it's through Christ. That back on. By whom we also have access, that is access to God, by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work as patience. Patience, experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have gotten down to our fifth study in this. We have looked at peace, that we have peace with God, that we have access to God. We rejoice in hope and glory of God. Not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing that, and this is where we're at now, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Patience. I have a long study on this morning. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, patience is a grace as difficult as it is necessary, and it's hard to come by as it is precious when it is gained. Patience. A.W. Tozer once said, what then are we to do about our problems? We must learn to live with them until such times as God delivers us from them. We must pray for grace to endure them without murmuring. Problems patiently endured will work for our spiritual perfecting. They harm us only when we resist them or endure them unwillingly. Both men are absolutely correct. Patience is a grace given to us. It is not something we have naturally. Nothing from God we have naturally. Not even faith. Not even love. Not hope. Not long-suffering. Not endurance. Not anything that God has given us do we have in the flesh by natural man, because, or by our natural nature. Because if we already had it, God wouldn't give it, would he? People don't understand why God gives us faith. Well, we already have faith. No, we don't. We don't have enough faith to save us. People, mankind is totally depraved without any good ability to be saved. Any good ability to do anything good in life. So we come to patience, and the Lord told us last week, but we glory in tribulations. That's hard to understand, isn't it? How we can glory in our tribulations. See, life is difficult for people that don't understand God or don't care to study and learn about God. I know we all worry. I know that we all get impatient. There's no one more impatient probably than I am. And I know that we all come to the point sometimes where we lose our ability to remember that God is in control of all things, but he is. Everything in our life is ordained and predetermined of God. We can't change the thing that God wants for us. And we can't add to what God doesn't want for us. Sometimes God leads us through troubles in life. Sometimes people's lives are all about trouble. Sometimes people are born very poor, very without, and will always live that way and will die that way. But that's what God ordained for them. Some people have wealth. Some people have life well. And that's what God ordained for them. And the rest of us are in between those. The more people can understand the sovereignty of God, the more people can understand how to deal with life. So let's define the word patience. Strong's defines it as cheerful or hopeful, endurance, consistency. Vines, I like Vine's definition here. Vines defines it as abiding, and abiding under endurance. The Cambridge Dictionary defines it this way: the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. Now, Cambridge Dictionary is not going to add God to it, but the only way you can do those is by the grace of God. God told us that knowing that tribulations work patience. This goes against human nature, doesn't it? Because with the flesh, it works impatience in our lives. And impatience works helplessness and hopelessness. Lost people, and even some weak Christians, will commit suicide over tribulations, trials in their lives, because they have no understanding of God's workings in their lives. We wonder sometimes, you may not, but I have, how it is that Christians in the past in history have suffered the way they suffered just for being Christians, just for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and endured it, willingly gave their life for the Lord. It's because they understood how God operates and how God works in our lives. People that don't go to church, people that don't read to understand their Bible, but go on Facebook or somewhere just to read the little things they have, or maybe a scripture or two they have, will never understand how God works in our life and how difficulties and trials and tribulations are God's way of teaching us to mature and to grow in life. God told us that knowing that tribulations work in patience. Because, and knowing means that we perceive it. The word knowing means to perceive, to know, to have knowledge of, whether absolutely or as in divine knowledge, or in the case of human knowledge, to know from observation. The tribulations and trials in our lives are our observation, to where the Lord is leading us and what God is walking us through in life, to make us comprehend and understand that He's in control and that He has a will for us. And whatever that will is what we're going to be, is where we're going to go, is what we're going to accomplish, even if it leads us through the trenches of trials and tribulations, persecutions, even destructions or even death. Living in much pain and anguish. Knowing these things allows us to grow in grace, doesn't it? The only way we can deal with tribulations and trials and persecutions in our life, and the Lord promised that we would have persecutions, did he not? Trials and tribulations. He promised them. He didn't just say, you'll have them. He promised them to us to prepare us that we will have them. And when we have them, we're supposed to accept them, not to fall apart with them, not to lose our minds over them. I'm not preaching to the choir here. I know a lot of Christians have fallen apart over death of a loved one. We've all suffered that, haven't we? Not our parents, our grandparents, our children, our spouses. Those are trying tribulation times for us, isn't it? But we have to, when we sink down, we have to come back up out of the water. Can't drown in it. We must understand that our bounds are set, and God set them, and we are not going to pass them in any part of our life, in anything. God has set our bounds in our entire life. Working on Sundays, working on Wednesdays, not going to church, not worshiping the Lord is not going to advance you in this life. Getting a bigger house, getting a bigger car, getting more money in your bank account, taking more vacations is not going to abound you in your Christian life. We have to accept where God has us in life and walk in the life on the road that God has set for us. It is his elected, ordained will for each and every one of us. The world doesn't stop because we lost a child, or a spouse, or a parent. World doesn't stop because we had a school shooting. World doesn't stop because someone shot up Walmart. Those are just parts of the evil world we live in. And I got another one for you. The world's not going to stop because we have all of this woke trash going on. You can stop shopping everywhere that celebrates all this transvestite stuff. It's not going to stop it. Well, at least I'm not spending my money. Do you have AT&T? Do you shop at Walmart? Have you really dug in? My wife told me that where she works, people call up and they want to know if they're supporting this transgender stuff. Well, who isn't in business? Amazon does. Walmart does. All the big brands do. I mean, if you've got T-Mobile, welcome to the transvestite world. Just because a bunch of people got together and really hurt a beer seller doesn't mean it's going to continue. It isn't going to continue. We have to accept the world that God has allowed to be. If God wanted transvestitism stopped, he would stop it. If God wanted this woke stuff to stop, he would stop it. If God wanted abortion to stop, he would stop it. You say, well, it stopped. It is not stopped. Don't fool yourself by the political realm that makes you believe that it's stopped. It isn't stopped. Abortions happen every day, even in Texas. Anyway, this is the patience we as Christians must walk in this world, understanding that God controls the world. That God controls our life. God has an ordained plan, an ordained will that's going to take place. The problem is, are we growing as Christians enough to understand it? The Lord said over Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. What's the key to this whole verse? That your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows every need you have. I got another for you. God also knows what he's going to give you before you ever ask. We're not changing the mind of God. Changing the scriptures does not make God's word different, to read different. You can redefine the entire word of God to make works a part of salvation, but God said it's not of works. You can redefine the entire scriptures to make salvation a choice or a decision, or turn over a new leaf, but that's not going to change the scriptures. We cannot change what God has ordained, and the word of God is what God ordained for the scriptures to say, and if people don't like it, that's a problem. We as Christians need to grow with much knowledge and understanding of the scriptures as we can, to mature ourselves. First John is a book about maturity. From babies to older babies to young men to men. The young men are the battlers, are the warriors. They're the ones in the fight. The father figures are those that are supporting them that are old to do the fighting. Everybody pitches in. Everybody helps Christians grow in grace with understanding of God. Understanding that God knows what we have need of, and begging God for it is not going to change it. Getting upset because God didn't answer in a timely manner is not going to change it. Getting upset because something happened in life and you can't deal with it is not going to change what God wants for you. God knows what we have need of before we ever ask, because God has ordained what he's going to give. James chapter 1, if you will. That's the divine knowledge of God without question. Therefore, we must trust God to answer our prayers as he chooses, as he wills. As for knowing, it is tied to God's knowledge, because it's tied to our faith in God. Therefore, we know without question and with strong faith that our tribulations in life is given to us from God to build our strength and patience in life. The Lord said tribulations brings about, works, causes patience to build. That's important that we understand, because patience is the biggest thing Christians lack. So let's look at what God said in James chapter 1. He said, brethren, or my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Joy. Count it joy. Knowing, there's that word knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that is complete work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. The problem is we want too much, don't we? We want everybody in our life to live forever. We won't always want our job. Nothing's been harder for Rebecca and I since I retired. She's gone to work to help some, but it's been a difficult time for us. We struggle a lot, but it's okay, because that's where God has us. And the same thing in our lives and other people's lives. We're not alone. In this world, you shall have tribulations, persecutions, trials. Those are things we will all endure. I don't care what you have in mind. James said, when temptations come, and they will, that it's simply a trying of your faith. To do what? To build patience. He says, work with patience. Then he says, to let it all work out. It is only possible if God allows it to be. Whatever our sovereign God has ordained will be. And James went on to say, to count it all joy. Are we missing something? Yes, we're missing to count whatever God does as joy in our lives. I know men and women who've lost their spouse and never gotten over it. Never moved on. It's hard, but you got to do it. I know pastors that have allowed their churches and their ministries to slip, because they're worried about whether they're going to have a job next month. I'm sorry, but who trusts the Lord in these things? Are we going to trust God, or are we not going to trust God? That's the bottom line. Patience. Go to John chapter 16, if you will. Our third sub-point, our second point here is true patience. Godly patience, God-given patience, is trusting God in what? In faith. And the stronger our faith, the stronger our patience. You know that? The stronger you trust God with faith, the stronger your patience will be. Because God puts us through these trials, tribulations, persecutions, all these things in our life to grow us. And believe me, when you get through these things, I've been through them. You, anyone who doesn't believe that your pastor goes through these things, you're wrong. You ought to be in my living room sometimes when things get bad, when men start talking about these things. Sometimes it gets a little woolly in there. You know what I mean? We need the clippers to kind of clip that sheep, because the wool's starting to grow a little bit. Just part of life, isn't it? But we have to use these things and use our faith in God to grow that patience. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Lord said, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. The Lord spoke to us that we could have peace in this thing, didn't he? He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. I'm sorry, what did he just say? Let's read it again. In this world you shall have tribulations. And then he goes on with what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ just promised that in your life you will have tribulations. And then he promises us to be in good cheer. How is that possible? To have tribulations in life and still be of good cheer. Your faith in God. Your patience in God. See, patience goes to God. Faith goes to God. It all goes to God. You know why? Because God controls it all. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. If you lack of patience, I'll tell you what, ask of God. If you lack of faith, ask of God. If you lack of knowledge, ask of God. Whatever you lack in your life, in your Christian life, in your spiritual life, ask of God, and he will give it to you if he so elects. I didn't say it was easy. Let me ask you something. And I turned it down. Let me ask you this. Do you think it was easy for the early Christians in the 1400s, even before, to watch their loved ones die right before their eyes for one simple reason? They refused to recant the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. I don't know where he got this story, but I'm going to just hold right here for a second to tell you this again. Brother Hammond used to tell a story of a family. A man, a woman, and several children. And you know how children work. You got there, you got here, you got here, you got here, you got there, and then you got small. And the persecutors came. And they lined them up into a line, and they wanted the father and mother to recant Jesus Christ, to recant the word of God. And when they refused, they promised them if they did not recant, they were going to start with the youngest and kill all of their children. And you know what happened? They refused. You know what else happened? They killed the first child. Slaughtered it. And each child, for the several that they had, they asked them again to recant the truth and Jesus Christ, and they refused. Until they killed every child, from the youngest to the oldest. And then when they were finished, they told the mother and father, they said, you can have more children, you still have some age to have children. Just recant Jesus Christ, recant the truth. They didn't put it that way, but that's what they wanted. And you can live and have more children. And when they did, the wife looked at her husband and she said, I will see you in glory, honey. And they killed them both. This, beloved, is experience and faith. This is believing in God. This is accepting God for whatever God has set in our life. Patience. We must understand God and his workings in our life. That these trials and tribulations build our hope, build our faith, build our patience, all because we know and understand what? That we are at peace with God. That we have access to talk to our Father. That we have hope and faith in him. And therefore, we're set in life to understand that these tribulations and trials and persecutions we have builds us up. It doesn't tear us down. It only tears us down if we're weak. It's okay to be weak as long as you come back up. We've all been defeated at times, haven't we? I mean, if you're a sports fan, you support sports teams, not sport, you learn how to be a loser. We also learn in life how to be a loser, don't we? But what do? We keep praying, we keep faith, we keep hope, and we climb out of it. Because we understand the sovereignty of God. Our victory is in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Isn't that our victory? Victory in Jesus? Yes, it is. We have victory. We're victorious in Christ because Satan's been defeated already. It may look like in the world today that he's not defeated. He is defeated. Stop calling your stores to ask their employees if they're going to go woke. I never could control what Tri-State Iron Mill has done. Larry can never control what Red River Financial, Red River Great Union could do. Ronnie never could control what PFG could do. We don't control our companies. We work there and make a living. They're not going to change because you want them to. One writer said, wrote these words. Satan is a humble foe. I'm sorry, Satan is a humbled foe. And all that believers have to do is put their trust in the captain of their salvation. Put on the whole armor of God, assured that victory is theirs. It is ours. We just live life, folks. We can't change it. Can we change it? No. We can't change life no more than we can change this Bible. We can't change what happens in life, what God has ordained, no more than we can change who's president of the United States. We can't do it. No more than we can change what Kohl's does, or Tri-State does, or Walmart does, or any other retailer does. So they go against the one beer company and they think they're going to change the whole world. They defeat abortion in the Supreme Court, and what happens? These liberal states just open up and they start paying people to come there and have abortions. We will fly you here first class. Pay all expenses, pay your hotel, pay your food, so you can come to our state and kill your child. Only God can stop it. We can't stop it. I'm not saying to dislike it. I'm not saying if you don't like Kohl's or Walmart or Sam's or anybody else, don't shop there. If you don't like T-Mobile, cancel that 2-year contract. Pay $400, $500, $800 to get out of there, $1,000, $1,500, whatever you own your phone or something. Get out of the contract. You ain't gonna see too many doing that. See, we talk, but we don't show. I stopped buying pizza at Pizza Hut. They doing good? Pizza Hut out of business? Are they hurting? Did their stock go down because I quit buying pizza at Pizza Hut? If I look at Domino's or any of the other pizza places, they're probably doing the same thing, just as woke as a Pizza Hut is. I'm not going to stop it. You're not going to stop life, folks. You're not going to stop what God has ordained. What's God ordained? He ordained this world toward the tribulation period. That's where it's happening. And that's where it's heading to. I only have a few more minutes. I got a ton of message here left. You know, I retired, and you know what I got? Rebecca went to work. You know what I got? I got too much time on my hands. I mean, I come over here and mow the yard, and I take my time, and I really do it good, and I really get looking nice, just trying to get some of this energy out of me. I work my garden, and then I sit down on the computer for hours and hours and hours and hours. Next thing I know, I got 10 pages of notes on one subject. Revelations 1. Our strongest faith is our strongest patience in life. Because our faith builds our patience, doesn't it? Our faith in God builds our patience, which is our knowledge, understanding, wisdom in God. Our strongest time of patience is when we are the strongest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our standard in our spiritual life. Listen to John, what John wrote in Revelation 1, verse 9. He says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. Huh? What? I, John, who am also your companion and brother and companion in tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're all companions and brothers in tribulation. It is our part of being a Christian, isn't it? Jesus suffered tribulations. He suffered trials, did he not? And we don't expect them? A man Jesus loved and counted on denied him three times. And Jesus told him before he would do it. Only in our understanding, go to Colossians 1. Only in our understanding of this can we have patience in them. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all presence and long sufferings of joyfulness. Only in our increasing in the knowledge of God can this all be possible. Growing up, being mature in the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. I'm going to try to get some of this done. I won't finish, but I'm going to try in the next 5 minutes before I let you out. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. It says, he that would grant you, let's sing, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man. Boy, that tells you a lot right there. Look at that this week. Study that this week. That God's Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you in your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, or that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, listen, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Patience is the grace of God. It is built over time. Troubles and trials and tribulations in your life is part of what brings you up in that patience part. That's the reason you find some well-learned Christians that don't get excited, don't allow themselves to fall apart. They just pray to God. And they leave it at one of the preachers at the Bible conference. One of the preachers at the Bible conference, Brother Gordon from Illinois, preach about a letter that you took the letter and you laid it before the Lord and you left it. Whatever's in the letter, it don't matter what's in it. You take it to the Lord, you lay it at the Lord's feet, and you leave it. Don't add to it that it gets bigger, he said. You got more there to pray about. Take your prayer, take your supplication, take what you have and lay it before the feet of Jesus. He'll take it to the Father for you. I have two favorite songs in this world. I have a lot, but two most, you'll find almost tears in my eyes every time I sing them. One is Victory in Jesus, and the other is Blessed Assurance. And one goes this way. How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life to on Calvary to save a wretch like me. About the angels singing and the old redemptive story, and some sweet day, I will sing up there. What will I sing? The song of victory. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. All is at rest with his goodness, lost in his love. I am so blessed to have the assurances of Jesus in my persecutions in life. If only I can have a strong patience as Jesus did in this life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll finish with this. Verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. What? The Lord is faithful. Think about this. Let this burn into your heart. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That's what we have to do, folks. We have to understand where God is in our life, what God is doing in our life. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I came into this world, naked I will leave this world, and I have to understand that what I have to do is have faith in what God is doing. And that faith will build my patience. God bless you this morning. Next week we'll look at another one. Let's all stand. Brother Justin comes.